attention there, and we started last week a short series out of the book of Jonah. And we're going to continue on with that tonight. Last week
I preached out of Jonah chapter number 1, and tonight we're going to preach from Jonah chapter number 2. Now, Jonah chapter number 2 has 10 verses in it, and so we're going to read those 10 verses, and we'll get right into the study tonight. But Jonah chapter number 1, like I said, we covered last week. I preached last week on the subject that Jonah ran from the Lord. And Jonah chapter number 2, you can put it like this: Jonah prays to the Lord. Because that's what we have, is Jonah's prayer. Chapter number 2, verses 1 through 10, the Bible said, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And so we read there about Jonah's prayer and what happened to Jonah after he was cast out of the ship. And we studied about all of that last week. And just go back to chapter number 1, verse number 17. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And the Lord Jesus Christ compared himself to Jonah in Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 39, where Jesus said, But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." And so Jonas was a sign. What was he a sign of? He was a sign of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very important that, like the Bible says here in chapter 1, verse 17, "And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Matthew 12 and verse number 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, I preached on signs just a few weeks ago out of Mark chapter number 16, and I continued to read a few things about that even after the study was over with, and I was reading some more about signs, and I come across something that I'd never really thought about before, but just what is a sign? A sign, and even in the Bible here, if Jonah was a sign, the Bible said, Jesus said, "There shall no sign be given it," talking about the adulterous generation, "but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, he was a sign. What he went through was a sign. What is a sign? A sign is not about the sign. But a sign is about what the sign is pointing to. Nobody passes a sign and says, "Oh, that's a great sign." But you pass a sign and say, "Praise the Lord, 30 miles. We'll be there in 30 miles. It's not about the sign. It's about what the sign is pointing to. And what is Jonah pointing to? Jonah, all the things that we could look at and study about that Jonah is pointing to, we don't want to miss the big thing. And the big thing is that Jonah was a type or a picture, a sign of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his death, burial, and resurrection, 3 days and three nights. And Jonah was a sign of that. And Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. There's a lot of things we could say about that tonight. Jonah made peace in his death, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah died for sinners, or in the place of sinners. They's either all going to die, or one of them is going to be thrown overboard. Now, the real reason they threw Jonah overboard is because he asked for a refund. Did you ever come across? I wondered about that. That's not really why they threw him over, but I wondered about that. Fellas, before I go, can I have my money back? But they threw him in the sea. And that was the only way for peace to be made. And it was either all of them are going down, or Jonah is going to go. Jonah died for sinners. And so he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his death, he went down, down, down. And they thought, boy, we'll never see Jonah again. That's the end of him. But in 3 days later, Jonah come forth from the dead. And so Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. It was just an absolute miracle that a man could go and be in the depths of the sea for 3 days and three nights. Yet, on the third day, Jonah come forth again. So a lot of things we could say about Jonah. That's what he is, a sign, his life. And the Lord Jesus certainly believed in Jonah and all the things that happened to him. But we want to point out some things about Jonah's prayer in chapter number 2. And first of all, we want to say this tonight, that talking about Jonah prayed to the Lord, he prayed down. Now, I believe this is the short edition of Jonah's prayer. The Bible said in verses 1 and 2, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." And so Jonah prayed unto the Lord, and he prayed the whole time he was conscious while he was there, while he was going down. He was praying and talking to the Lord. I'm sure he wasn't thinking about anything else that was going on, other than that he's certainly a dead man. And he's praying and he's crying out unto the Lord. He's in affliction, but I want to point something out about this. He's got his prayer life back. You see, last week when we studied about Jonah, Jonah's a prophet, Jonah's a man of God, Jonah is all these things. We looked at 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 25, a lot of things that we could say about Jonah, but everybody else is praying and calling out to their God with a little g. And Jonah is down in the sides of the ship, and Jonah's not praying to his God at all. He's the only one that serves the living and true God. He referred there in chapter number 1 that he served in verse number 9. He said, "I fear the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." But he knew the Lord, but he didn't have no prayer life. But now he is in great affliction, and all of a sudden he's got his prayer life back. Why does the Lord allow us to go through times of affliction? Sometimes it might be just so we can get our prayer life back. And so Jonah, now he's going through a great time of affliction, but he has got his prayer life back, and that's how chapter number 2 starts. And I've got this underlined in my Bible, "Then Jonah prayed." And so any affliction that causes us to get our prayer life back where it ought to be is actually not a good thing. It's not a bad thing if it brings us closer to God. It's not a bad thing if it helps us in our prayer life. In Jonah, here in chapter number 2, he's like the prodigal son, where the Bible says that he came to himself. And so Jonah comes to himself. He's a lot different in chapter 2 than he was in chapter number 1. In chapter number 1, he wasn't concerned about himself, and he wasn't concerned about anybody else. He wasn't concerned about God's will. He wasn't concerned about what God wanted. He was only concerned about what Jonah's will was and what Jonah wanted. But now, in chapter number 2, you see his whole frame of mind, everything about Jonah has changed drastically. And it's all because of what Jonah is going through. Sometimes we go through things and they're awful things to go through. But if it can change us for the better, it's actually a good thing, no matter what it is. And so Jonah is in a time of affliction. And Jonah, we could say, went through a seven-step program. You know, in our day and time, there's a lot of programs that people go to for different things. And Jonah had sort of a program that he went through as well. And there's seven things that I want to point out in these verses that Jonah went through. First of all, Jonah went through a time of disobedience. And we've already studied about that in chapter number one. And, you know, it's real easy for us to look and say, well, old Jonah, you know, the prodigal prophet. Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah ran from the Lord. Jonah didn't do what God told him to do. And it's real easy for us to look at Jonah and say that. But who among us could stand up and say tonight that they've never disobeyed the Lord? That they've never ran from what God wanted them to do, or maybe God was speaking to their heart about a certain thing, and they turned away from what the Lord was saying. Well, we've all done that. We've all been disobedient at times. We've all been rebellious at times. We've all gone through things like that. And I don't know. I was thinking today a whole lot about this. What is it about us that makes us run from what God wants us to do? A lot of preachers have that testimony. God was calling me to preach and I ran from the Lord. Or a young person, God was calling me and I was running from the will of the Lord. What is it that causes us to run and be disobedient to what God wants us to do? Well, it's just old self. It's old human nature. It's just not what I wanted. It's not what I wanted. Boy, we'd be wiser if we'd realize that God knows what He's doing. And to try to find out what God wants us to do. But Jonah, like a lot of people, Jonah disobeyed. Jonah ran from the Lord, but that was in chapter number 1. God sent a great fish to swallow up Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. And they threw Jonah overboard in chapter number 1. But now, in chapter number 2, things are much different in Jonah's life. And Jonah prays, and Jonah is convicted. In chapter number 2, the Bible said in verse number 1 that he prayed. In verse number 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice. And so I see that in Jonah's life there is a great conviction in his life. What is conviction? Well, he thought one way, but now he's convinced another way. Jonah was convinced of his own self, I'm going to run away from God and I'm going to go in the opposite direction. But now Jonah is convicted. Jonah is convinced that he was wrong. And he cried out with his audible voice unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I. Hell meaning death. I mean, he knew that he was a goner, but he knew God heard his voice. He's convicted over what he did. He's convicted over his sin. He's convicted that he done wrong. And I will say tonight that conviction is a wonderful thing. We shouldn't be worried about people that go to the altar. We ought to be worried about people that never go to the altar. If somebody is humble enough from time to time and sensitive enough to the Spirit of God that they would respond in a way that, you know, God has spoken to my heart about this and I feel like I need to cry unto the Lord and do business with God. I'll tell you, that's a wonderful thing when God speaks to our heart. When God never speaks to our heart or we never listen anymore, that's a sad shape to be in. Where we get to where we never cry out to the Lord by reason of our affliction, that's a sad shape to be in. Now, don't worry about people going to the altar. Worry about people not going to the altar. Worry about when we don't go, when I don't go. when it seems like that God has not spoken to our heart in a long, long, long time, and we know we have enough God sense about us to know we're really not where we ought to be, but we're just not bothered about it. That's a sign that we need revival in our hearts and in our lives. Jonah was disobeyed, but Jonah was convicted that he was wrong. He confessed that he was wrong. Number three, there's a confession in chapter 2 and verse number 3. Jonah said, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep." Notice, he didn't say, "This is a terrible stroke of bad luck." Jonah didn't say, "I can't believe this happened to me. These men, these heathens, they just had it out for me, and it's their fault that I'm drowning and dying." And Jonah's going through a time of death and drowning, and it's a horrible thing he's going through. But he confesses to the Lord, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Thou hast cast me." He confessed. He knew why he was there, and he knew who put him there. So there's a disobedience, and there's a conviction, and there's a confession, and there is a contrition. A confession is one thing. Yeah, I was wrong. But contrition means this. It means that there's a sorrow accompanied with it. Not just I shouldn't have run from the Lord, but he's actually sorry that he ran from the Lord. That's what contrition is. And sorrow over what that he had done. In chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible said, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." He said in verse 6, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." From the very depths he cried out about his condition and the despair. And while he was there, he remembered his God. And he said in verse number 9, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." Now, I don't read anywhere where Jonah had vowed or where it's written that he had vowed anything. But Jonah, being a prophet of the Lord, had probably done some business with the Lord in the past, and he had probably told the Lord something like a whole lot of people do. "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you send me, I'll go. And whatever you tell me to say, I'll say it." Jonah had made some vows unto the Lord. Jonah had said, "Lord, God didn't call Jonah to do something that Jonah hadn't already been doing. He was already a prophet. He was already in the message delivering business for God. It's not like Jonah was not already in the ministry, so to speak. But this one thing Jonah didn't want to do, he had obeyed the Lord before, but now all of a sudden, he doesn't want to obey the Lord. But then in chapter number 2, he does want to obey. "I will pay that I have vowed. Lord, I'll do what I told you I would do. I'll go where you want me to do." That's contrition. "I will pay." He's saying, "I'm sorry. Give me another chance. I'll go to Nineveh." We find that there's contrition. We find that there's sorrow in his prayer. And then there is prayer. And that's part of his program as well. Verse number 1 said, "Then Jonah prayed." Verse number 9 said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." There was prayer involved in what Jonah was doing. In verse number 8, he said, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." There's thanksgiving in verse number 9. He said also, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." That is an indication of a heart that's right with God. He's in trouble, but in spite of being in trouble, he finds that he also has a place of thanksgiving in his heart. And thanksgiving in times of trouble is a sure sign of complete submission unto the Lord. And he said this verse number 9, and I've preached on this before many, many years ago. There's a great doctrinal teaching there in verse number 9. Notice what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah didn't believe that he could save himself. He knew where salvation come from. Salvation is of the Lord. It is the Lord that saves. Now, if you asked Jonah if you could work your way to heaven, he'd have said no. If you'd have asked Jonah, can you know that you're saved? I believe Jonah would have said, you sure can know that you're saved. See, some people, they don't believe that you can really know when you're saved. The Bible said in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. How long did it take Jonah to figure out that he was saved? When he saw the light and he heard, felt the sand on his face and got a fresh breath air after 3 days and 3 nights, he knew he had been saved. And that's a picture of salvation. He said, salvation is of the Lord. And so there's thanksgiving there. And number 7, there's deliverance there. We read verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And so there's a definite deliverance in Jonah's life. He prayed down. He said in verse number 6, I went down. He's praying. And as I read and really begin to think about this, I thought about Jonah going down. I thought about where he said that the floods compassed him about and the billows and waves had passed over me. And when he talked about that he was in the midst of the seas and the waters compassed me about, the depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head, that just about made me have to go outside and get a fresher breath air. I sort of feel like I was drowning with Jonah. That's swimming and all that's just not my thing. I mean, to me, the worst way to die would be to drown. I just can't imagine what Jonah had gone through. I don't even take a bath because I'm afraid of water. You know, I take a shower, but I stay out of deep water. And what a terrible, terrible experience. I mean, a lot of times we read things and we don't think very much about it, but to me that would be, I just can't think of anything much worse than drowning. You talk about getting right with God. Jonah got right with God. He prayed down. Number 2, and I've just got 3 things I'm going to share with you tonight. Number 2, he sold out. You can spell that S-O-L-D or you can spell that S-O-U-L-E-D. Jonah sold out to the Lord. Jonah sold out to what God had originally called him to do. Now, if you read after Bible teachers, commentaries, different people that's done studies on the book of Jonah, the question comes up, well, was Jonah alive for 3 days and 3 nights? Or did Jonah die and come back to life? And so I read down through here and maybe there's evidence for did he die? Or did he stay alive those 3 days? The Bible does not plainly say one way or the other if Jonah died or if he was maybe unconscious part of the time. You know what really happened to Jonah during those 3 days and 3 nights? I've thought a whole lot about it. I think if you met Jonah on the shore as the great fish vomited him out on the land and Jonah jumped up, and you know I've read about What would happen to a man that spent 3 days, that spent any time inside a stomach? The acid would eat all the hair and probably part of the flesh off the man's body. Can you imagine what Jonah looked like when he looked like vomit? But here, Jonah wasn't dead, and Jonah jumps up, and if we could have been there on the shore and asked Jonah, "Jonah, what happened? Did you die while you was down there? Did you come back to life?" I think Jonah would have just said, "Get out of my way. I'm going to Nineveh." It's not what I'm getting at tonight. It's really neither here nor there. But I do believe this from reading, and if you just read slowly and think about the verses, I believe that Jonah thought that he had died. He said that he cried out of the, verse number 2, out of the belly of hell, death, cried I. But he said God heard his voice. Jonah, whether he died or whether he lived for the 3 days and just was vomited out on the land, it's really neither here nor there, but Jonah thought that he had died. And Jonah, in hindsight, wrote these verses. I don't know if he died physically. I think that he did. And I think that the Lord brought him back to life. That's my personal opinion, but I wouldn't argue with anybody about it. But I think that Jonah died while he was down there and the Lord brought him back to life. Jonah maybe died physically, maybe did not. But I do believe this, Jonah died to himself. While he was down there, Jonah did die to himself and his wants and what he wanted, and that's what each and every one of us is going to have to do if we want God to use us. And dying to self is always an ugly thing. It's hard to do. And it's something the Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, "I die daily." Old self is hard to control. In fact, it's impossible to control. Paul put it like this, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And dying to self is a hard, ugly thing. Jonah was 3 days and three nights. And over in the Bible again, there is a wonderful study about a three-day trial. There's several of God's saints that went through a three-day, three-night period, and that three-day, three-night is always a picture of dying to oneself. Jonah went through the three-day trial. Joshua crossed Jordan on the third day. Abraham saw the mount on the third day. That's where he took Isaac up and took the knife and was going to sacrifice his own son. You talk about a trial. You talk about dying to oneself. God, is this really what I'm supposed to do? Abraham had to die to what Abraham wanted to do. Esther, in the book of Esther, where she said that great phrase, "And if I perish, I perish," she said, "the maidens go away and pray for 3 days for me." And so there's a lot of three-day trials in the Bible that you can study about. And it is always a picture of dying out to oneself. Dying out to what one wants to do and finding out what God wants them to do. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The only way to know that is to die out to self. And we sing songs and we talk about that, but really, that's a hard thing to do. And that's a hard thing even for preachers to do sometimes. I mean, Jonah was a preacher. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And he had to die out to self. Well, he had 3 days to think about it. And he decided the Lord knew better. And he sold out to the Lord. And the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And Jonah, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now that's a blessing. We serve a God of a second chance. And so he prayed down and he sold out. And last of all, he was thrown up. I got ahead of myself just a little bit. That's what I'm getting at. He was thrown up by the great fish. The Bible said in verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And I heard a preacher preach years ago. It was at a youth meeting. And he was preaching on Jonah. And he said that, and I've never forgot, he said that fish threw up, spit out Jonah on the dry land, and said, "Preacher, you make me sick." And so the fish, the great fish, the whale, vomited out Jonah on the dry land. And that's another thing people argue about, is whether a whale could swallow a man. And I wouldn't get into that. I would just say this. Have you ever seen a whale? Have you ever seen how big some of these whales are? It don't say what kind. It doesn't have to be a specific one. The Bible said God prepared. God could have give a whale one with an extra big throat and an extra big belly. I don't know. But I'm not worried about that. I believe all of that. All of that. But he was thrown up. That's a very unpleasant thing to think about. And some people are so weak on their stomachs that they can hardly stand to read about it. But nevertheless, the Bible says the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. When we die out ourselves and put her all on the altar, it's never a clean thing. It's a messy looking thing. But here's what Jonah received from his experiences. And I'll give you three things about that, and then I'll be done tonight. Here's what Jonah got out of that by way of the process that he went through. Number one, he got a second chance. Like I said, I was getting ahead of myself. But what did Jonah get out? What's the purpose of all this? Well, Jonah got a second chance. And I touched on that a little bit last week, but you know, God could have killed him. God could have let him go off and just said, "Forget about Jonah. I'll get somebody else." But Jonah got a second chance, and at 3:1 says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." And I'm glad God gives second chances. I've messed up some second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And like the Lord told Peter about forgiveness, 70 times 7. You say, we ought not to forgive somebody that many times. How many times has the Lord forgiven us? How many times has the Lord, have we come to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me"? The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. And I'm thankful we serve a God of second chances. And you know, it's always better to obey first. It's always better not to have to go through a shipwreck or a being thrown overboard or a great tragedy, a storm of some kind. But I'm glad when we do go through those things, we serve a God of second chances. And Jonah got a second chance. And number three, he got this. He got a revived desire for the will of God. He wasn't going to go, but now he's going to go. He refused to go, but now he's willing to go. He ran from the Lord, but now he runs to the Lord. He paid the fare thereof to get away from God. God paid his ticket back. He got a free trip back. The whale even spit him out on the right side, headed in the right direction. He got a renewed desire for the will of God in his life. Afflictions will do that for us. Tough times, dying to ourselves, will give us a revived desire to see the will of God. Number three, and maybe Jonah would not have had the success that he did without going through this. Because going through this trial gave Jonah a power that caused him to be successful in God's call upon his life. Why do we have to go through some of the things that we go through? You would never be able to understand other people's. You'd never be able to say to anybody, "I know what you're going through. I've been there. I've done that. I've experienced that." Jonah is a changed man from the one that got on the boat. And when he arrives in Nineveh, there's something about him now. They are really going to listen. The experiences that Jonah went through gave him a power that caused him to be successful in God's calling upon his life. And God lets us go through things sometimes that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. So when we think about the book of Jonah, we think about running from the Lord. Well, I've been there, I've done that. But I think chapter number 2 gives me more hope and help for my heart, my life, because I sure need some of that. I can say with Jonah, not to that extent, never been swallowed by a whale, but some of the things, you know, I've been there, I've done that, you've been there, you've done that, you've gone through things, you've gone through times that God's given you a second chance, that God has revived you concerning his will for your life and what he wants you to do, that he's allowed things to come in your life that gave you a power, that gave you a desire to serve him and caused you to be successful in what God's called you to do. So yeah, Jonah ran, but Jonah prayed unto the Lord. And Lord willing, next week we'll go along a little farther and we'll get into chapter number 3 and see that Jonah, the second time, the word of the Lord came unto him. And so